You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Would y'all please give us a hand for Miss Dolores, Miss Jolene, and Kenny. Kenny's been coming up and helping me every week since he's been here, and it's great. We encourage you, if you can really sing, not just shower sing, but if you can really sing, y'all can really sing. I heard you. We encourage you to come and help us. I mean, this is your service. We do this for the Rec Room people. This is our church service. So we'd like for you to join us if you play an instrument. I don't really have the chords on most songs, but we can sure get them for you if you'd like to help us play. We do have drums, as you can see. We have a bass over there just sitting there not being used. And if you can really play now, not just want to play, but we would invite you and love to have you. We're going to do a real Rec Room song tonight. This one was written by a guy that was down in Huntsville, and I believe it was Huntsville, where they have the graveyard with no names. If you were down there, you saw the graveyard with no names. They just put numbers on it. This guy got to know the Lord while he was there, and he was walking out there and saw those graves, and he thought, you know what? I don't care if they know my name or not. Jesus knows my name. And we want you to know Jesus knows your name too. Whether you know him yet or not, he knows your name. He wants you to know him. He wants to love you. He gave himself for you. This great song says, they may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. Here we go, girls. I made some mistakes in my life. Well, I made some mistakes in my life. Now I'm reaping what I had sown. I'm doing my time with all the rest, and I was waiting on my parole. Though I'm still locked up, I can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Jesus came in, he forgave my sin, he knows who I am. They may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. I may spend some time behind bars, but Jesus will loose my chain. I'm a new with a new heart, and I will never be the same. You may know my number, but Jesus knows my name. When a sinner repents of his sin, and he calls on the name of the Lord, his name is written in the book of life as the angels all rejoice. So if they bury me all alone with my number on a cross of white, won't matter to me, 'cause I'm gonna be up in heaven, oh so bright. Jesus knows my name. I may spend my life behind bars, but Jesus has loosed my chain. And I'm a new man with a new heart, and I will never be the same. Jesus knows my name.
So if you made mistakes in your life and you're reaping what you have sown, if you're doing time with all the rest and you're waiting on your parole, though you've been locked up, you can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Let Jesus in, He'll forgive your sin. You will know the great I Am. They may know your number, but Jesus knows your name. Yes, He does. You may spend some time behind those bars, but Jesus will loose your chain. Though you've been locked up, still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. They may know your number, but Jesus knows your name. Here we go now. They may know our number, but Jesus knows our name. We may spend some time behind those bars, Jesus can loose our chain. Locked up, we can still be free by the blood of the precious Lamb. Well, they may know our number, but Jesus knows our name. Yes, He does. They may know our number, but Jesus knows our name.
Yes, He does.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I like that song. I really do. That is a good one. I want to talk to you tonight, and we're going to turn to some places in the Bible. And if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn with us, if you'd like, lift your hand, we'll see that you get one. And let me say this about these Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, or you don't have one here with you, then you may have that one. Let that be a gift from the rec room to you, and you just take it with you tonight. If you are not going to take it with you tonight, would you put it on the table at the back of the room instead of leaving it in the chair? And that way, that'll save our people some steps, and we will appreciate that. I'm going to talk to you tonight about some tough people in the Bible. There's something about toughness that everybody wants to share in. Nobody wants to be a whiner. Even though many of us are, we don't like whiners. And if we're going to have a whiner, I'm going to be the whiner. I don't want you to be the whiner. But we just kind of like this tough thing. We in the Bible, the tough guys in the Bible are kind of our heroes. David and Goliath. Here's a kid that kills a giant. He's tough. Not only did he kill that giant, but he'd already killed a lion and a bear. Now, that's a tough kid. I mean, you don't give him any lip in his neighborhood. Then you had Daniel in the lion's den. Now, that's tough. Or the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire furnace, and you couldn't even smell any smoke on them. You can't do that at Clover House, but you could then. That's tough people. I mean, we're talking somebody that's tough. Samson. Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. That's tough. There are also people in the Bible that we don't think too much of being tough, that were really pretty tough. They're kind of lesser known. Some of you have read and heard about that Jacob wrestled all night long with an angel. Well, you got to be pretty tough to last with an angel and wrestle him. Probably one of the toughest guys in the Bible, we don't look at him as being tough, was Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 live-ins. He's tough. John the Baptist that came before Jesus, the cousin of Jesus, his diet was locusts and wild honey. That's tough. This guy was tough. He came, and let me tell you what, he got into the religious world's face. He jumped on those theologians like something else. James and John, two of the disciples, and we read the book of John, and we think about how sweet it is, and John is referred to as the disciple that Jesus loved. But you know that James and John were called the sons of thunder. I guess it meant they had mud flaps on the camels or something. But think about this. Now, when they're called the sons of thunder, you don't see them teaching table manners to folks. Hey. But there's some other people that we're going to talk about. And we talk about people that were really tough. Now, throughout my life, I've acted tough. I was thinking when I said, I can remember back when we wore T-shirts and we put a pack of cigarettes up here and wadded it up. I'm a teenager, I'm tough. And then after I got a tattoo, I was really tough. And I noticed that there were certain things that girls like guys to do. Play football. And I wanted to be tough to play football. And let me tell you, I wasn't. You look back and in the early 50s, it was Thanksgiving Day. It was the last day of a long season. We weren't, I started saying we weren't very good. Let me change that. We were bad football team. And it's the last, and I am down to 177 pounds. And the guy playing in front of me, we are the same height. And he weighs 276. 99 pounds different. Can I tell you it was a long, long afternoon? Goodness. Oh, what am I doing here? I noticed another thing. Girls like cowboys. Oh, yeah, like them cowboys. So I decided I'd just ride to the Broncos. And I can remember, boy, I was pumped up for that until the time came to do it. And I'm saying, I'm not even Christian, and I'm saying, dear Lord, please let him kill me. The announcer would say, here comes Leland Maples out of shoot number 3. And he'd pause, and then he'd say, here comes his horse. What am I doing here? I remember when the first time I soloed an airplane. You talk about scared. I said, Lord, I hope you can fly an airplane. Because it's real hard to see instruments with tears in your eyes. And I remember he totally surprised me with it. I'd made 3 of the worst landings you could make. You've got a book that you're supposed to, a flight log book, and you're supposed to put down when you took off and when you landed. And that day I landed at 701, 702, 703, 704. Because I just giving it this shot. And the third time we did this, he said, pull up down here and stop. And he got out. And I thought he was checking the plane for damage. And he said, take it around. And I said, do what? He said, take it around. And you talk, I couldn't say a word. And I started taxiing back down. and I could hear all this noise, all kind of clattering and noise, and I just went down there and U-turned. Now, pilots don't say U-turn. We say 180. See? But I hadn't gotten that far along yet. I just U-turned and brought it back down there. And I said, something's wrong. He said, yeah, it is. He had left his seatbelt laying out when he closed the door, and it was banging on the runway as I was going back down there. And, man alive, but you know what? When I got back to the office, I soloed. Now, when I was out there in that plane, I was begging God to fly it. But now I'm tough. Hey, all of a sudden, I know how to do all of these things. In John 19, in your Bibles, turn to John 19. Let me introduce you to some really tough guys. John chapter 19. Christ has been crucified. He is dead. And we're going to start reading at verse 38. And it said, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher where was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. I never thought much about this until a few years ago, March 7th, 1986. I came home from the Big Spring Federal Prison on a Friday night after Bible study, sitting over here in my apartment, having a sandwich when the phone rang. Now, I've got 5 children. They're Martha, Mark, Mary, Matt, and Michael. And I got them a dog. For years they'd wanted a registered Doberman. The lady gave me a registered Doberman. It's a brand new puppy. And those kids loved that dog, and they said, Dad, we've got to name him a Bible name, and it's got to start with M, because all of our names are M. And I was really up against it, and somebody I know had to point this out to me, because I'm not smart enough to find these things. But the Bible said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And we named that dog Moreover. I'm on it. We registered his name. My daughter had 4 registered Moreovers. One would die and she'd get another one, have a different second name, but she had, but my oldest daughter called me that night with a phone call that every parent fears. Said, Dad, Mike's been killed. And the next morning I headed to Houston. To Angleton. And this was a pretty rough time for his brothers and sisters. And a guy walked up to him in a suit, and he said, Mr. Maples, are you Mike's dad? And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, will you come and identify the body? They'd done an autopsy because he was on a motorcycle. Somebody ran a stop sign, pulled out in front of him. He was on a 4-lane. They were on a side road, pulled out in front of him, killed him and the guy riding with him. And he said, we need for you to identify the body. And I said, no, sir. He said, you won't identify the body? I said, I'll take your word for it. The last thing in the world I wanted to do will see my battered son. I don't want to do that. And he said, somebody's got to identify the body. And I remember God saying, you coward. You going to let his mama do it? You coward. And I remember walking in that sanitized room in the back of the funeral home. And over here on an enamel table, his body with a sheet over it. And we walk over there, and he pulls back that sheet. I say, yes, that's my son. That's my son. The next time I read this, I thought, you're two tough guys if they can go get the body of Jesus. They go when the whole world is against them. I didn't want to go because I was a coward. You talk about some courage. And when nobody, when they just crucified Jesus and the world was against him and the disciples had all fled, and these two men walk out to pick up a body that's bloody from thorns in his head, the blood on his face, the blood running down his hand from the nails to the cross and down his feet from the nails, and then one big gaping hole in his side where the sword was plunged. And they said, we'll clean the body up. We'll take the body. He did all that for me and you. Bible said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he finished that work. The Bible said he said it's finished and gave up the ghost. And he paid that debt for me and you. And what is amazing, he still got those scars. After his resurrection, 3 days later, he rose. But after his resurrection, he walked into the disciples and said, Feel in my hands, feel them. And my side. But that's not all of it. The next to the last book of the Old Testament said when Jesus comes back, that the nation of Israel will look upon whom they have pierced. The scars are still there. When John wrote Revelation, when God caught John forward, and took him not only forward, but into the very essence of glory. And he sees God sitting on the throne. And people praising and glorifying him. And all of the beauty, all of the fascinating gold and all of those things. What a sight it was. And then John says, because they bring out a book and they said, who can open the book? And John said, I begin to weep because nobody could open this book. And one of the angels nudged him and said, don't worry. And he said, I looked up and here was a lamb as it had been slain. That's Jesus. That could open this book. He's also got a book that's got mine and your names in it. And he's got a book that doesn't have some names in it. And every one of us will see those scars to be reminded that he paid for me. I'm not talking about a religious thing. I'm not talking about a church thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that what Jesus Christ did. Let me tell you, I got three boys out of those five kids. I wouldn't give one of them for you. In fact, you know what? I wouldn't give one boy for the other one. But God the Father had one son. And he gave him for me and you. To die for us. that. You know, it said sometime a man will die for his friends. You know, Jesus died for his enemies. That's tough. That's love. That's being there when the last volley is fired. That's being there when the smoke is cleared. That's what God will do for us. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about what He did for you. I want you to know. This past week I asked a young man sitting down at the jail. I said, have you ever trusted Christ? He said, I do that every day. I said, have you ever, one time in your life, asked Him to save you? He said, oh, I'm sure I have. I said, do you know? And the more he thought about it, the minute he started to cry, and he said, no, I never have. We can dance all the way around this, but that body's real. We can talk about it. We can make smart remarks. We can pay no attention. But it's real, people. I can't tell you enough. I'm thankful that I get to tell that story. But tonight, you say, Leland, I've never been saved. Would you pray for me? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just slip up your hand? Is there one? Real quickly. Leland, would you pray for me? I've never been saved. Are you being honest? Real quick now. Now let me ask you this, because it's your testimony, and that's the one you'll have to stand with Jesus with, that you're God's child. Now, one day we'll stand before Him either as Savior or we'll stand before Him as judge. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Do you identify the body as Him being your Savior? Will you be glad to see Him? Or is that something you fear? Because that will tell you what your position is. We're going to stand, head still bowed, eyes closed. Stand to your feet if you would. And if you're not doing what God wants you to do, is best you know how. Nobody's in there perfect. I understand that. But God is talking to you tonight about something. And you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and pray with one of these men, one of these women, and get some things right in your life. I want you to come on the very first verse that Charles sang, and just as I am, without one plea.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for me.
Are you doing what God wants you to do? Come on, come on. You need to come. Brother Johnny, come on. You're doing what God wants you to do. With many a doubt. Our heads still bowed, eyes still closed, some here at the front praying. Have you done what God wants you to do? Do you mean business with God? because he means business with you. I'm going to ask Charles to sing one more verse. No one comes, we'll be through. This will be your invitation. You can close it or leave it open. One more verse. Do what God have you to do. Come on. Don't forget the things on the table. What have I done? What do I do now? The refreshment bar is open. Be sure and turn your cards in. Thank you for being here. I didn't mention the box of the giving. If you want to give, all monies go to help rec room people. That goes in the purple box too. Thank you very much. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.